Hey, Mom, look what's on this website.
You're listening to Parenting in the Rain, Insights from the Experts podcast, episode 11.
Welcome to Parenting in the Rain, Insights from the Experts podcast, providing parents all around the world with valuable knowledge to help with the biggies of family life. Here's your host, a registered play therapist, education specialist, parent coach, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Parenting in the Rain podcast. Jackie Flynn here with episode 11. It seems like this podcast was just launched, and here we are at episode 11 already. Holy moly. Well, I love that we're meeting like this, and I love learning together as parents. I know some of you are listening in your car, some are listening at home, maybe while you're cooking or cleaning or doing something at home, and some of you are even listening at work, if you can do that. So I'm curious, what are you doing when you're listening to Parenting in the Rain? Hop on the website, parentinginthe.com, and let me know. I would love to kind of visualize how we're spending this time together. Okay, so today's guest is Mark Piesel. I have learned a lot from this guy. He's an online safety expert for kids, and he's just a super nice guy. You'll hear as he shares all of this information with us coming up soon. And he's just a really strong believer in the child-parent relationship, which is a big part of my philosophy. So I think that's why I'm so connected to the advice that he gives us. It's really good stuff. I asked my husband, Tom, to join us on the episode because as a family, this is a topic that we think about a lot, and we make decisions together every day on online safety for our kids. So I thought it'd be appropriate for him to join. We absolutely love our technology. We have iPhones, iPads, iPods, PCs, all of that techie stuff, and we want to make sure that our kids are safe. So this information is vital for us. And as many of you guys, I know that's how it is in your family too, or maybe not, but it's really good information. So here's my conversation with Mark Piesel.
I've been in the internet world now for about almost close to 20 years, and being in the internet world, I've learned a lot, seen a lot, heard a lot, and experienced a lot of the good and the bad on the internet. My life before being an internet marketing developer person was in the outdoor education world, so I spent a lot of time with kids in the outdoors, and really what I've done now is essentially combine my love of working with kids and educating kids with my knowledge of the internet, and realize there was something missing a few years ago about how to help kids move forward on the internet, how to help them surf the internet, how to help them be safe. And that's kind of where the book started.
I know when I seen it, I actually found it on Amazon, and it just looked like a gold mine of information of just practical ways, as well as letting people really know the dangers out there, but also you let them know how to address it as well. So I think that's wonderful that you did that, because it's really going to help a lot of families, or it is helping a lot of families.
Well, I hope so. That's my goal. And along with the book, I do give some talks, and I'm actually preparing for another talk at a local school up here about that same topic, where they'll bring some parents in, and I'll get to talk to some parents about it and about all the topics in the book and new ones that are coming up every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. New things coming up that we don't even know, because technology is growing so fast. So it's great to have somebody like you around. What are some of the dangers of not having this information?
I'll back up to two main tenets of the book that you've seen online, is that internet safety is really more about your relationship with your children than it is about the technology. And I'll go into that more also in a little bit. But the second part is also that internet safety is about knowing as much or more, hopefully, than your kids do about the internet. So it, even though it does seem a little contradictory, the main tenet is really to have a good relationship with your kids, to trust your kids, to teach them everything they need to know to navigate the internet safely. One of the analogies I use is when you teach your kids how to drive, you teach them how to start the car, how to move it forward, backwards, left, right, how to stop it. And then the last thing you give them is your expectations of what you how they need to drive it. And you trust them to do that. It's the same thing online, that if you're not teaching them what's out there, how to respond to it, how to ask you for help, then you're sort of essentially letting them behind the wheel of a car without any training. And we would never do that as parents. We would never let our kids just drive a car without training. So going back to your question, what they're missing if they don't learn these things is really letting the internet teach them rather than you teach them about the internet. And to me, I feel very strongly about that with my kids, that we work with them and how to navigate the internet, how to move from point A to point B, how to use search engines and use them responsibly and use them well and use the right terms, you know, do real searches for really what they're looking for and try to be very specific. If your kids aren't getting these things, then letting the internet teach them rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm, certainly. I know with a lot of big topics that child-parent relationship is really at the foundation of whether they're in danger or whether they're successful. So that's always like the focus.
I was talking to a group of middle school girls and their moms, and I said to these girls, I said, here's one of the most important things I can teach you. And I said, repeat after me. And they all looked at me and I said, Mom, I saw this thing on the internet. And they all said, Mom, I saw this thing on the internet. And then I said, and I have some questions about it. Can I ask you about it? And that's one of the most impactful things I've done or talked about with a group of people or kids, is because it's really trying to help break down that barrier for kids to actually ask their parents about things they're unsure of or they're embarrassed about or they're nervous about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you make such a good point when you say we need to have as much knowledge as they do, but some of them are just so advanced. It's hard to keep up with that.
They are. And that refers to probably more on the internet part, the social media, the app world, those kind of things. So, you know, if your kids have, I used to say Facebook accounts, but kids mostly don't anymore because all the parents do. but if your kids have an Instagram account, then by all means, you better have one. And if they have a Snapchat account, then you better have one of those too. And hopefully you can use them to help teach you how to get an account and use an account in return for saying, you know, part of the deal is, I get to be part of your circle of friends on this app or whatever. So really, if your kids are getting into something, then you should get into it too.
Yeah. That way you're in their world and you see what's going on. If you make it a requirement, then it's just understood. It's not a punishment.
That's true. Now there's always the case of when kids will say, and it used to happen a lot with Facebook, and I'm sure it happens with everything else, is the kid will say, sure, I'll friend you, Mom or Dad. And then they go ahead and create a second Facebook account under a different name. And that's where all the real stuff happens. So what we want to do is have their trust again and have that relationship with your child that they don't feel the need to go do that. Along with that is giving them the tools about how to be a good person online. And there's a buzzword about digital citizenship, which I actually think is really no different from just being regular good citizen in the world, because you wouldn't say something face to face that oftentimes people say online to one another, either anonymously or just on their own. So really, we're teaching our kids to really be good citizens, to be good online people, no matter what, and to be good people online or offline.
Yeah. Just really coming down to that core character is key, whether you're looking at the person face to face or through the computer or the phone.
Exactly.
But I know that really kind of brings to the surface of my mind cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. It's such an ugly topic.
Mm-hmm.
Can be so painful.
It really is. And again, it's what kind of person do you want to be? And so I was recently talking to some other friends about this, and also in preparation for my next talk, about cyberbullying and why people say mean things, that really we want our kids to to know at the core of their being who they are. And cyberbullying, those kind of things tend to come up when someone wants to be liked, or someone's trying to be popular, or someone is trying to fit in. And really what we have now is a decision with our kids to say, before those things come up, before those situations come up, is to say, what kind of person do you want to be? When in a place of calmness, in a place of nothing's going on at home, at the dinner table, it's one of those discussions we can have and say, what kind of person are you? Who do you want to be? What kind of reputation do you want to have? And to make those decisions now before they're confronted with having to make those decisions.
Are you responsible in the way that you treat people, the way you want to be treated, right down to your core character?
Right.
Now, but sometimes kiddos wake up in the middle of the night and they get the phone. And I know one thing that we started implementing is we have like a charging area and all of the electronic devices go to a certain spot. What are some other ways that parents can prevent after hours access?
Well, you know, again, I think you can away their phones, you can turn off your wireless, you can call your cell phone provider and say, hey, can you turn off my service for this phone during certain times of the day and night, which I've had some friends have to do. But that's a lot of work, especially that last piece. And I think it even costs money. I am a big fan of having a charging station where the phones stay in overnight. And I'm a big fan of trusting your kids that they're going to stay there. Even if they wake up and they can't sleep, that's where they stay. If they do get up and they go grab their phone and they go start doing something, then hopefully you'll know, or you'll be able to have that conversation with them and put into place any consequences that maybe you've decided on while deciding that strategy. There's also, this is a really hard one, is that having parents set that example is a pretty tough one for us parents to do sometimes, especially when we're up later than kids, or we're used to using our phones as alarm clocks or something like that. But if you as parents can slap your phone down on the charging station and say, it's my phone's going to stay here all night too, they have a little bit more confidence that you're all doing it together. Other than that, I think it's really just about trusting the kids to be able to make their own decisions and to obey the decisions that you all as a family have agreed to.
Yeah, it sounds just like with anything else, you need to model what you expect them to do.
Right.
So it just comes down to that good core, solid parenting, I think.
It does. And, you know, there's one other concept about that I think is missed often, is that reducing a child's technology use at night isn't about the technology. It's about helping them get enough sleep. And there's enough studies, I'm not going to quote them, but they all say that the kids are interrupted, you know, by a text at night, they lose like an hour of sleep, something like that. I don't know exactly what it is, but those are easy to find online. And so really our goal is to approach this and saying, you know what, kids, we want to help you get the best sleep possible for your school day tomorrow, so you're not sleepy at school, so you can get all your work done. So I think that's also a really good way to approach the no technology at night.
I love that you're giving us the verbiage too. That's something that, I mean, if it's new to our families, we could write it down and have it on a post-it note on the side of the refrigerator and do a little peek right before bedtime.
Right, right.
That's good. You have so much good knowledge. We discussed before this actual interview of some things we were going to talk about, and I mentioned that I would love to hear a story of a time maybe that there was a situation that could have been prevented. So tell us a little bit about what you have in mind for that story.
Sure. When I was writing the book, I had some friends of mine reading it and edit, helping to sort of edit it for me, and also asking them for stories. And one of them told me about her then 13-year-old daughter who downloaded this app unbeknownst to the mom and my friend. And the daughter went to her mom one day and said, hey, mom, look at this here, or something. I forget exactly how it happened, but the mom saw this app that this daughter was using on her iPhone and discovered it was some sort of fashion app. And as she looked at it, she started seeing pictures of not only her daughter, but other underage girls in bikinis all over this app. And she was really shocked and horrified. And she shared this story with me, because it was so powerful for her that she realized she needed to spend more time going over the apps that her daughter was downloading, and her son, who was a little bit younger, but looking at the apps, looking at what they do. And she and I talked, and we looked really in depth into this app, and it's also in the book, but essentially we discovered that this app was written by a company in Germany who have different privacy laws and different rules than we do over here. Their terms and conditions for using the app were very loose. They were long and hard to read, but if you read them and sort of distilled them down, they really didn't say much. And and you found the online version was just that. It was just a bunch of young girls and older women in bikinis and, you know, doing fashion shots and that kind of stuff. And it was the one word that comes to mind with that app was creepy. And she immediately deleted it, and she had a great talk with her daughter about it. Has since had much better relationship with her daughter because they were able to talk about it.
Oh my goodness, what you're saying now, I'm thinking, yikes. I'm thinking online safety. I'm thinking the computer. I'm thinking all these social media accounts, things like that. But apps really hasn't crossed my mind. So that's such a good point. You could upload information to that, pictures, and once it's out there, and it's so dangerous, so vulnerable, especially for our kids. It's a vulnerable population.
It is, and the other one that a lot of people don't think about are the online game sites. And I have another friend who would play these online games with his daughter, and they would sort of get on the same online group and play with the same people, and they were very clear that there was a father-daughter relationship there, and that everybody better be cool, and everybody was. And it was great to his daughter, and they had a great time playing online games together. Because that's where a lot of will start asking things like, hey, where do you go to school? You know, what's going on? Everybody home? Blah, blah, blah. So they start asking these probing questions to get just ever so slightly more subtle information from people. And they were able to play these games together and had a wonderful, safe time doing it.
Mm. So you could still enjoy that kind of stuff. You have to just do it in a smart way, it sounds like, and a really relationship-based way to where you are part of it, not just observing it or monitoring it.
Exactly, exactly. Getting involved. And they had such a great time playing these games together. It was another great success story for the relationship building and being together. And by the way, who doesn't want to play games with their kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm a play therapist. I actually get to play games with kids for a living, so nice. I love it. My husband and I were chatting last night while we were walking our dog around the block, and I asked him, I said, is there anything that you want me to ask Mark while we're online? And he came up with this, and I didn't even think of it. So, Tom, this next question, if you could present this to him, this is something that we really could use this information.
Is there a way to monitor different websites that are being viewed from your house at one central location? We have phones, we have computers, we have gaming systems, and I noticed that, like, some of the gaming systems, there's no way to monitor what kind of internet activity is happening with those. And is there another way, maybe right at the modem or something, where you could monitor all activity going in and out of the house?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't seen one thing that will handle and manage and log everything. There is software that you can run on a router that will sort of manage the traffic that goes in and out and filter the traffic, so not allow you to certain websites. There are a bunch of different filters out there. I do some part-time technology work at a school, so I'm familiar with using a filter, and it manages bad words and bad websites and all this kind of stuff, and what the traffic looks like going through there. In fact, if any of your listeners know that, I'd love to hear more about that, that sort of technology tracking device, if there is anything like that. And then, you know, obviously when you're with your phone, you can connect to the cellular network, and then that's a harder thing to track. In browsers, you can check your history and log files. in your browser, but then all the browsers come with a like an incognito mode that doesn't track what's going on in the browser. So what the best thing I've found on the computer side of things is create a master admin account on the computer that you know the access to, and then to create a child's account on that computer that's more locked down, that has parental controls on it. And it's fairly easy to do on the Mac, and on the PC, it's really not that hard either. So that's what I'd recommend on the computer side of things. For the phone side of things, helping them to manage the apps they download, and you're checking them out before they download anything with the Apple devices. And I think the Androids and others may be not far behind if they haven't caught up, that you can be required to have your approval before they can download any apps. And that's definitely one thing I would do, because the apps right now, even with the obvious ones like Snapchat and Instagram, there are other apps like calculator apps that look like a calculator up front. But as soon as you enter a certain, the correct combination of keystrokes, it turns into a file manager, and where you can store pictures and documents and all kinds of stuff. There are ones out there that are hidden, and there are ones out there that are obvious, and they say exactly what they do, that they do that. I don't necessarily believe that there's going to be a technological solution that covers every single thing you're coming across. So that's a hard question to answer, but I have not done the studies on the actual technology, if there's a device like that. And my standpoint is, I don't believe that there can be some technology solution that handles everything that comes up. So let's start at the beginning and start with your relationship with your child and educate them. Tell them what's coming up. Tell them how to act, how to respond, how to be a good person, how to take care of each other, and how to, this is a phrase I heard recently, how to not use the like button for hate.
Mm. Boy, that's powerful. That's worth kind of putting in quotations, how to not use the like button for hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay, so we're almost out of time, and I definitely want to be able to give our listeners a way to find you, ways to learn more about this. So if you could give us that information on here, I will also include it on our show notes as well at parentinginthe.com.
Sure. My website is safeonlinechild.com. And from there, there are links to buy the book for your iPad, for your Kindle, or for your Nook. And there's a way to contact me there, phone number and a contact form. And I definitely try to respond to everything within a day. And I would love to hear from anybody who has questions about it. There's also on the site, there's a page about a whole bunch of other resources and links, because I'm certainly not going to be the expert on every single possible thing. So I everything I learn, not only from my experience, but I do a lot of reading and a lot of studying and talking to people myself. So I try to also have a good section on resources to learn more about different things.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know I learned a lot from you just in this little bit of time.
Oh, good.
Well, thank you so, so much. This has been wonderful.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to talking to you more and anybody else more who has any questions.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, Mark.
Bye. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. It was packed with so much good information. Mark's book has a lot of specifics in it too, and his website that he mentioned. So be sure to go there if you need more information. He's just a super good guy. He cares a lot about the safety of our kiddos, and he knows a lot about online safety. And I love that he really bases all of his advice in the importance of the child-parent relationship. That's where the good stuff happens. When we have a good relationship with our kiddos, that's when we really have an influence of the choices that they make. Well, you can get the show notes for this episode at parentinginthe.com, and you can send me a message on there too. I love hearing from you, and I wish I could just bold that and highlight it and put some explanation points after that, because it really does mean the world to me to hear from you and see what did you like, what did you not like, and what do you want more of. And be sure to tune into future shows because we have some really good ones lined up. Now, off the top of my head, I can think of there's one like on autism spectrum disorder, one on child-parent relationship strengthening, and that's with one of the educators from my play therapy program, and she is top-notch. That's going to be an amazing one. And one about navigating the world of ESC, which is incredible. I can't wait till that one airs, too. And so much more, way more than I could even mention on this episode. All right, so I want to invite you to our Parenting in the Rain Facebook community. It is just a wonderful place to meet, share knowledge, and grow together as parents. So when you get on Facebook, just do a search for Parenting in the Rain community and request to join. I'll accept you, and then you'll be in. It's just a wonderful group. And if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe, rate, and review to Parenting in the Rain on iTunes. You can catch up on ones that you may have missed, and you can get future ones as well. So that's really important. But if you're not an iTunes user, you can also get access to it on Stitcher Radio, and I think Google, I think that's up and running now, but I'm not totally sure. And it's for sure on parentinginthe rain.com. All right, so thank you so much for listening. And until next time, take care.